Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Summit Church podcast. At the end of this episode, be sure to take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch more content that will encourage you in your journey with Jesus. And if this message inspires you, share it with a friend. I hope the next few minutes will be a blessing to you. Enjoy. Well, this Christmas, I spent some time visiting my family in my hometown of Reed Spring, Missouri. And so that's just 20 minutes outside of the Branson area. And my family owns quite a bit of land there and hills and hollers, if you know what I mean. But we all lived really close together, and with a span of 1 mile was my house, my great-grandparents' farmhouse, and my grandparents' house. And when they were all still living, everyone was separated by no more than just a quarter of a mile. And I could tell you all kinds of stories about growing up in the Ozarks on a beef cattle farm. Like the time that I got my brand new Nike school shoes stuck in the mud of the pond. Or the time I threw a rock and hit my dad's truck window and shattered it. Or the time, all the times that we went sledding on the four-wheelers when it snowed in the winter. Or picking up black walnuts and mushroom hunting down in the hollers. Or the time that I found, yes, found an emu. You know, like one of those big ostrich birds? Found one. Yep. But one story comes to my mind today. My brother and I would ride four-wheelers a lot throughout our land, but to get to my grandparents' houses, we'd have to drive on an old country road. And there was this one stretch of land between my grandparents' house and the farmhouse that was straight. The only straight part of the road, or any road in Stone County, but it was the best place that you could go fast on. And one time, my friend and I were on one of our four-wheelers driving to my granny's house, and all of a sudden, this squirrel just popped up right in front of us in that straight part of the road. And I was like, oh, I'll just speed up a little bit. Maybe I'll try to hit it just, you know, for fun, because that's the only thing they can do for fun in Stone County. I had no intentions, maybe, of hitting it, but I did run over the squirrel. And as teenage girls are hysterical, we were hysterical that we killed a living creature and we were responsible for its death. So we left the squirrel there and continued to my grandma's house. And we visited with my grandparents for a little bit. And 15, 20 minutes later, we came back and we slowed down as we came past this poor squirrel to just pay our respects. But I kid you not, the squirrel jumped up and took off. I'm not kidding you. That thing came back to life just like Jesus on Easter morning, but it was even more terrifying than running over it for the first time. My friend and I screamed and laughed and like belly laughed, crying the entire ride back to my parents' house. And this might be one of those you had to be there kind of moments, but it was really top five funniest things ever happened in my entire life. If you haven't met before, my name is C.G. Embry, and I serve as one of the pastors here at the Summit, and now you know that I grew up as a country girl on a farm. Here's a picture of me. This is kind of embarrassing. I had cowgirl boots and everything, but now I find myself here in the suburbs of Lee Summit serving this church and serving you all. This last week, we celebrated Christmas together. And today, of course, is New Year's Eve, and 2023 is soon coming to a close. And as this new year gets started, you could be one to think about starting some New Year's resolutions, right? Maybe to drink less, or to work out more, to lose weight, to get organized, spend less time on social media. Maybe you want to travel more, get your finances in order. Did you know that 92% of resolutions actually end up failing? Just a side note. Or maybe you're one to want to improve your mental or emotional health by reading some self-help books. But before you consider those things, would you consider this with me? God isn't done with you. Oftentimes, we can get to the end of the holidays, or maybe to the end of a year that wasn't so great for some. Or maybe it just feels like another year flew on by and we didn't accomplish the things we wanted to accomplish. Maybe we had big plans in 2023, yet we still feel like we're wandering, we're lost, still feeling a little hopeless or empty. Maybe some of you feel like you can't live up to the expectations of being a good follower of Jesus. Do you ever feel that? If I'm honest with you, I do sometimes. Now, New Year's resolutions aren't bad things, but they could become distractions that take our focus to something other than God. So this morning, I thought I would share with you some things that God has laid on my heart recently. But before that, I thought maybe we could just take a moment to pause, to settle our hearts and spend a moment in the presence of God, just asking him to be with us in this moment this morning. So would you pray with me? God, we're just so grateful for all that you've done in 2023. We thank you for all the blessings. God, I know that there are some people in this room that probably feel like maybe they had a bad year. They're ready for it to be over. But God, I just pray that you would stir up something in our souls this morning. God, stir up within us some new expectations of what you're going to do in 2024. God, I pray that whatever happened in 2023, that maybe we feel like we just want to leave behind, that today we can do that. God, we leave it behind and we leave this new year in your hands. Lord, I pray that you would be with us during this time and you would speak to those who need to hear from you today. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's where we're going to be today. So if you have a Bible with you, that's towards the back of your Bible, or if you have the Bible app, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you can follow along there. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the early church in Corinth, and it comes after his first letter, you guessed it, 1 Corinthians, where Paul discovers that the Christians there didn't actually pay attention to his first letter and his visit to them, where he called them to faithfully follow after Jesus. You see, this following after Jesus was still kind of a new thing for them. And Paul notices that their behaviors have become a problem, so he's addressing them once more. And Paul begins his letter in verses 1 through 3 by not so gently reminding them that they are representing Jesus in Corinth and they need to get it together. He reminds them that their very lives are a letter from Christ, not written in pen and ink, but on their hearts because the Holy Spirit has been given to them. Paul is strongly encouraging them to recognize their reality because he knew that God wasn't done with them. Have you ever stopped to recognize your own reality? You probably have if you drive a car. When this has happened to you, a really annoying check engine light comes on, right? This has happened very often with me, my 2004 Toyota Camry that has over 200,000 miles on it. What seems like every month that light comes on, and we have become regulars over at Derek's Automotive right here in Lee Summit. But the reality could be when your check engine light comes on that maybe your car just needs an oil change or maybe it's about to blow up, one or the other, I don't know. But the check engine light is an indicator that something is wrong on the inside, right? Something deeper is going on that needs some attention. And either way, it's a reality you probably should face. So do you ignore it until you can't ignore it anymore, or do you take action? It makes me wonder what God might do if we pause today or tomorrow or sometime this week and think about our own reality and relationship to God. Like Paul is calling out to the church in Corinth. He's saying, check your engine lights. It's like asking, what's going on deep inside your soul? Are you faithfully following Jesus? Or do we say we're Christians, but our reality in life wouldn't prove it? Or are we just going to ignore God until we need him? God is calling us to recognize our reality. I love how Paul follows later in verse 4. He says this: we are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is not a covenant of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. To understand this passage, we need to understand Paul's reference here. We need to know a little bit about this old covenant that he's speaking of. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came to earth as God in the flesh, God made covenants or partnerships with people like Noah and Abraham, the nation of Israel, and King David. And all of those covenants were broken because people failed to follow God. They failed to partner with God. And Paul is saying, hey, those old partnerships God made are broken, but under this new way, there is new life. Paul is strongly encouraging them to live intentionally following Jesus because he knew God wasn't done with them. This new covenant with Jesus repairs all of the old broken partnerships, and Jesus comes out of those partnerships, and God uses him to bring people back to himself. And not only that, God gives access to himself through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. God is calling us to live intentionally following Jesus. In her book, Experiencing Friendship with God, Faith Urey Cho writes this: just as it would be unthinkable to have a Ferrari only to keep it in the garage, or have $1 billion just to forget about it in the bank, it would be a tragedy to carry the presence of God and never access him. God is with us always, but every relationship requires intentionality. I love what Faith writes here because it reminds me of how God has already been intentional with me, intentional with you. God made a grand plan of redemption for all people. So maybe we need to make a plan of intentionality to follow him too. Did you catch that? Maybe we need to make a plan of intentionality to follow him too. Just as a side note, next week, Pastor Ryan is going to be sharing some really practical ways you can get started on doing that. You'll have a chance to even make your own 2024 personal plan. And it's going to be a series you need to be here for every single week in January if you're looking to intentionally get on track with God this year. So I hope that you'll be back here next Sunday for that. We pick up Paul's plea with the Corinthians here in verse 8. He says, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not at all glorious compared to the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Church, shouldn't we expect far greater glory for God now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? What do we mean by that? In the Old Testament, people didn't have access directly to God. In fact, Scripture says if you saw God's face that you would die. His glory was too bright, too great, and those words don't even begin to describe him. In the Old Testament, making sacrifices was key to accessing God and worshiping God. But today that access is different. For us it's different because of this new way that Paul reminds us of. Today we have access to the living God because of Jesus' sacrifice. When I think about expecting far greater glory for God, I think about things that are unfathomable because I think that's really what Paul is getting at here. We We can anticipate and speculate what God will do all we want, but until we open our minds and our lives up to the Holy Spirit's guiding through our praying, growing, giving, serving, and inviting, we may never experience that glory. Just think about what we celebrated at Christmas, the coming of the King that had no business being the Savior of the world by the world's standards. In an Instagram post by Elise Murphy from Propel Women, she said this: "The first Christmas story reminds us that the miracles we pray for rarely come through the methods we anticipate. We can't fathom what God might do through us, but we can have faith that it will be good because God's history proves his faithfulness. We can't fathom how or why God might move through us, but we can anticipate much because he's with us. We can't fathom what God might do through us, but we can have expectations with a bold confidence because God is who he says he is." Genesis 1:1, he's the creator. Psalm 91, he's our dwelling place. Psalm 23:1, God is our shepherd. Genesis 22, God is the provider, just to name a few. God is calling us to live expectantly. I think back to that squirrel story that I ran over. I know it's a really stupid story, but it reminds me of where I came from and where God has brought me. I remember going over to the barn to help my dad feed the cows. But I actually just sat in the barn because it was freezing outside. But I would sit on top of the hay, and I remember just like dreaming about being a photographer or a photojournalist in New York City. That sounds fun to a high school girl. But in 2009, a lady from my small town community invested in my life. And while she was cutting my hair, she invited me to her church's student ministry. God wasn't done with me. When I was 16, the gospel was presented to me in its entirety and the first time I'd ever heard it. And I began following after Jesus, despite all of the odds of growing up in a non-Christian household. God wasn't done with me. When I was 17, I took a step in my faith and got baptized. And God wasn't done with me. In 2011, at a student camp, I had a prompting and a stirring in my soul from the Holy Spirit to spend my life partnering with God, working for God, living for God. But I had no idea what that meant or what that was going to look like. And God wasn't done with me. When I was 21, I had an experience in the corporate world that made that experience in 2011 at student camp more clear because it reminded me of the desperate need for Jesus in this world. And I surrendered my career and life's work to God. God wasn't done with me. In 2015, I took a job as just a graphic designer for a church in Lee Summit because Ryan Schreckengoss was the first to offer me a job out of college. And God wasn't done with me. And when I was 29, I became a mom, and I began serving as one of your pastors. Two things I never thought I would do and was hesitant to do, and two things that today I'm still figuring out. And God isn't done with me. And I tell you all of this as a reminder to live life with an expectant heart of the unknown, with a bold confidence that God is who he says he is, and in step with the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you, as well as an encouragement to look back at your own life and see pivotal moments or small moments like this where you have seen God be faithful through the unknown. So I would encourage you, maybe today, go home and sit down and think about what were those moments in your own life. Maybe even write them down. Share them with someone that you love. Just like our own lives, we can look back at the early church and see that God was faithful too. Some of the Corinthians did end up getting it together, and the church continued to grow and spread to what it is today. And thank God he wasn't done with them. So today, you're in this room, and you're living and breathing still by the grace of God, which could only mean one thing, that God isn't done with you either. So this New Year's Eve, will you consider that with me? God has so much more for you, but there are some steps that you might need to take to be intentional about it. The first one is to recognize your reality. You know, even though those check engine lights are really annoying, wouldn't it be cool if we had, like, a spiritual check engine light where you could, like, blink, kind of like Iron Man or something? That'd be cool. But the Holy Spirit can actually be that for you. Maybe it's simply just asking God, what is it that needs to be in check about my life right now? Or maybe it's doing something like filling out your own spiritual health check. This resource is super cool, and next week when we kick off this new series, we're going to be providing some spiritual growth resources for you that has this in it. So it's something you're going to want to be here for. But where are you with God? Do you need to start following Jesus? Are you faithfully following Jesus now? What's the state of your heart? What's your reality? Second, is to make an intentional plan to follow Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift from it." The writer of Hebrews makes it clear. We must listen or we'll drift. We need to make a plan to listen to God, spend time with God, to pray, to be in community with other Christians. This doesn't happen naturally, especially in our culture today. You need to plan to be intentional. You can take a step next month by attending church every Sunday in January. So we're going to be walking through how and why to make a plan. You're even going to get your own 5 practices journal. Looks like this. Wow, supplies last. So will you be intentional the first 5 Sundays of January? And lastly, live expectantly. Paul's letter to the Corinthians is applicable to us today. 1 Corinthians 3:8, "Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life?" Will you expect God to do great things in you, through you, and for you in 2024? That's what I'm praying for. So this morning, I hope you hear this and you feel this deeply in your soul, that God isn't done with you. In Ephesians chapter 3, there's a prayer from Paul to the church in Ephesus, and I think it's absolutely beautiful and timely for this moment. And I would love to just share it with you today and pray it over you today before we continue to worship the Lord together. So would you please stand with me as I pray this over you? I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with his inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Amen.